Right, I'm going to read a short section from the Bible, and then I'm going to talk about it for a short while. So this is taken from John, the Gospel of John, from chapter 21, right at the end of the Gospel. And this is after the events of Easter Sunday, when Jesus has risen from the dead. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they'd finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Right, Dave on the desk. I'm going to start moving around now, so I'm going to move away from this mic and go on to the radio mic. So.
I promise I won't go on for too long. But we had a reading there from, we've just had a couple of weeks ago, Easter. Yes? Anybody get Easter eggs? Okay, right, jolly good. And Easter is when Christians remember the story of Jesus who came and actually we believe that Jesus was not just some bloke, not just a good man, but actually was God himself come to earth to live as one of us. And that actually when it is Jesus speaking, this is God himself speaking. And reaching out to us and saying, "I'm with you and I'm here." Christians believe that God is not an old person sat up on a cloud far, far away, but that actually God is a God who comes to be with us and alongside us. And what we've been praying for this young lady, and if she needs to be elsewhere, that's fine. Though she's very happy to be here as well. That's not me saying buzz off. Because actually, making noise is entirely understandable. But Christians believe that God is here with us. And actually, what we've baptized this young lady into and prayed for is that she will know God's presence with her and in her throughout the whole of her life. And we believe, as Christians, that actually Jesus came and, some of you will know, was crucified. That's why we have these crosses around the place and why we put that sign of the cross on Elodie's forehead just after we'd done the thing with the water. And we believe that 3 days later, after being executed, Jesus came back from the dead and was alive. And this story is actually from after Jesus had come back from the dead. And I'll come back to that thought in a moment. But he comes to see one of his friends. Jesus had 12 particular friends. One of them, some of you will know, betrayed him to the Roman authorities. And there was another one who was called Peter. And he didn't quite hand him over to the authorities, but he did let him down. Peter actually said at one point, "Even if everybody else deserts you, I'm going to stick with you. You can count on me." And when Jesus is arrested by the Romans, who at the time are the occupying force, they've invaded the country that Jesus lived in a number of years beforehand, and they're the occupying force. When Jesus is arrested and handed over to the Romans, Peter follows and he's sat outside by a fire. And somebody says to him, "Aren't you one of this guy's followers?" And he says, "No, don't know him." And they say, "Oh, come on, you're a northerner." Because Jesus was a northerner, by the way. Didn't know if you knew this. They journeyed down to Jerusalem. That was in the south. He actually says, "I can tell by your accent, you're from up north. Don't you know him?" And he goes, "No, I don't know him." And they say, "Surely, I thought I'd seen you with him. "Don't you know him?" And he says, "I absolutely do not know him." Three times he says, "I don't even know the guy." The guy who had said, "I'll never desert you. You can always count on me." And what happens after Jesus has risen from the dead is he sits Peter down. And he sits him down. Well, you might have spotted he cooked breakfast for them. Okay, that's quite nice. Jesus turns up and he's already cooked. Okay? And he says, "Come and have breakfast." And they come and have breakfast, sat next to, well, a fire. And Peter's probably sitting there thinking, "Do you know what? Last time I was sat around a fire like this, I said I didn't even know this guy. And I did it three times." And then Jesus asks him a question. And he asks him a question how many times? Three times. He's taken him back there. This is something that he's done that he really regrets. This is something that he's done that he thinks is just unforgivable. And you cannot get rid of it. You absolutely cannot get rid of it. And Jesus takes him back and he reminds him. Now, I don't know about you. There may be stuff in your life that is big or is small where you think, "I wish I hadn't done that. I'd let myself down. I'd let other people down. I shouldn't have done that." Do you ever have those times where sometimes it's a really big thing, like it might be in Peter's life, or it might be you just kind of feel you're just not getting life right? Does anybody feel like that? I had an incident the other day. I've brought a visual aid. This is a white shirt. Some of you will know my day job is I work training vicars and others on various things. And we were running a training day, and it was a really hot day. Okay, you're right, it's been amazing weather this week, hasn't it? Okay, it was a really hot day, and we were having food at lunchtime, and we thought, let's go outside. So we went and sat outside, and there's me in my white shirt with a plate of chili. Now, you may or may not be able to see here, but there's nicely orange stuff just down here. Have you ever done this yourself? Some of you are looking absolutely wonderful, you know, great white outfit, Hannah. Okay, just be careful, all right? I don't know what you're eating later, but just be careful. Do you ever have those points where you just think, "Oh, flip"? Okay, so I kid you not, on that particular day, I had to think, right, it's the hottest day of the year. Do I just get my hoodie and zip it up? Okay, or do I just go with the t-shirt I've got underneath it? Decided the t-shirt was the better option in the end. But I felt an idiot. Okay, but do you know what's amazing? You can wash these. You can wash these, and they come out clean. It's been a really hot week this week, hasn't it? Has it? Yeah. Did any of you have that point where you think, I know it's only 12 o'clock, but I think I probably need a shower. Yeah? Why do we do this? Why do we do this stuff with water? Well, as I said, it's a symbol that actually, from the youngest to the oldest, we will understand and we will notice. And she did notice it, didn't she? but the reason why we do it is that it actually says we all need a wash. We all do stuff where we think, "I'm just not getting life right here. I've made a mess. And everyone can see I've made a mess. And most of all, I know I've made a mess." But you know what? That's not the end of it. Because we can be washed and we can be made clean. And this, even for the youngest of us, is a sign that the stuff we do wrong and the stuff we get wrong is not the final full stop. It doesn't have to be. Because actually, we can be forgiven. Jesus takes Peter, the guy who was his friend, but let him down, and let him down big style, and knows it. And he says to him three times round the fire, because he's taking him back there, and actually he's saying, "It's okay, I forgive you. There is hope. We can put this right. We can make it clean." And that is the promise and the hope. You guys as parents will not get everything right, okay? You will mess up. One of my favourite quotes, which I used earlier today, was from a famous English actor from ages ago, a guy called David Niven, who had a friend called Errol Flynn. And he once said about him, the thing about Errol is he's completely dependable. He'll always let you down. And the fact is, we are all fallible and we all mess up and we all get stuff wrong. And you will need to say sorry to each other, to her. You will fail her. You will fail one another and others. That's just what we're like. But the amazing thing is that actually God comes and says, it's not that I'm far, far away and judging you like people think Christians think God is. But actually Christians believe that God comes alongside us and says, in the midst of the mess, in the midst of the stuff that we get wrong, that's not the final full stop. And there is hope and there is forgiveness and we can be made clean and new. So we'll be praying for you that in the stuff you get right and the stuff that you get wrong, you and she will know that you are loved and that there is hope and that there is always a way back by God's grace and forgiveness and love. May God bless you as a family and may you know his peace and his protection and his grace. Amen.